grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Lord's Day, chapter 6 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 3rd through the 5th verse and the 9th verse. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. If someone were to ask you, what does your baptism mean to you now, today? What would you say? The epistle read in church this morning provides us with a wonderful opportunity to think about this question. So, what does your baptism mean to you now, today? In the far-off world of the 13th century, that's 800 years ago, the devout king of France, Louis IX, had this to say: the three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the kingly crown which I now wear on my head. King Louis knew that the crown he wore on his head only showed what he was for a short time. And in the light of eternity, life is short for everyone. But those three handfuls of water at his baptism had made him a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the kingly crown which I now wear on my head. It was problems in the church at Rome which prompted St. Paul to speak to the Roman Christians about baptism. It seems that a terrible misunderstanding of Christian teaching was troubling the Roman Christians, and that misunderstanding can perhaps best be summarized in the cynical assertion: the world is admirably arranged. I like to commit sins. God likes to forgive them. The world is admirably arranged. I like to commit sins. God likes to forgive them. And this, of course, is a dangerous half-truth. For it is true that God likes to forgive sins. Over and over and over again in Holy Scripture, we are told that God takes delight in showing mercy. In just a few Sundays, the ancient prayer appointed for that Sunday speaks of God as the one who declares his almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity, declares his almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus is just this: God loves us not because we're so lovable, but because he is love, perfect love, who sent his own dear Son into this fallen, death-bound world to bear our sin and be our Savior, to offer himself on the altar of the cross as a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. Nothing we are, nothing we can do, can possibly remove our guilt. Our only claim on God is the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from every stain. And so we are fully and freely forgiven. That's the Christian gospel. Not what you and I do, but what God has done for us. But the forgiveness of sins is not license to keep on sinning. And that's why St. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, "Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And so St. Paul shows those early Roman Christians two things: both the wonders of baptism and what baptism therefore means for the way we live. First of all, the wonders of baptism. So what happens when a child or an adult is baptized? Well, we know that any baptism is a real baptism regardless of the amount of water that is used. But in order to realize what in fact happens in baptism, it's helpful to picture baptism by full immersion in the water. I always ask my confirmation classes, what happens if you hold somebody underwater too long? The answer invariably comes back: by the person drowns and dies. Well, that is precisely what happens in baptism, because there we are mysteriously yet truly joined to the death of Jesus, his saving death for our sins and his life-giving resurrection. I love the words of John Mason Neal's hymn about baptism, in which he says, "With Christ we share a mystic grave, with Christ we buried lie, but 'tis not in the darksome cave, by mournful Calvary. The pure and bright baptismal flood entombs our nature's stain. New creatures from the cleansing wave with Christ we rise again. This then is the wonder of baptism, that in baptism you and I have been mysteriously yet truly made one with the saving death and resurrection of the Savior. As we learned in the Catechism, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this as the words and promises of God declare. And so baptism is our solid rock, dependable, unshakable, immovable. And that's why when Dr. Luther was troubled by sin and guilt, or all but overwhelmed with cares and fears, he would say to himself, "But I have been baptized, and if I have been baptized, then I am a beloved child of God, an inheritor of his kingdom." And that is the wonder of baptism. So what then does baptism mean for daily living? To live as a baptized child of God is to die daily to sin and walk in newness of life. And how do we do that? We do that through daily repentance, by saying no to sin, and if we do sin, immediately crawling back to our baptism, taking comfort in the tender mercy of Jesus there given and pledged to us forever. Feelings come and go. Faith waxes and wanes. Love flourishes and dies. But our baptism into Christ dead and risen stands forever. Christian living is a daily return to baptism in which we once for all mysteriously yet truly shared in the death and resurrection of Jesus, in whose death our sins are dead and buried in his tomb and in the watery tomb of our baptism. Because we have already in baptism truly shared in Christ's death, destroying death, the death we yet must die is but the completion of baptism. St. Paul writes, if we had been united with him in a death like his, and we have in baptism, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. No wonder the devout King Louis IX of France could say, the three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the kingly crown which I now wear upon my head. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.